You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
They are from the Problem Gambling Foundation, and they recently had a wee pop-up outside Albany Street, right next to the Clubs and Societies building. They're here to talk about student gambling, the state of gambling in Aotearoa, and how to prevent slash mitigate slash help people with gambling addictions. We have Kim Wilson in the studio joining us now. Good morning to you, Kim. How are we?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm glad to hear. How are you finding navigating Dunedin compared to the busy roads of Hamilton?
It's great. I'm loving your city. It's great. Your red lights are too long and your green lights are too short, but otherwise it's really good. Loving it.
Entering the old buildings?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful city. Hamilton doesn't have so many old buildings.
No, true. I mean, Dunedin had a bit of a gold rush in the 1800s.
Yeah.
What's the kind of like vibe with Hamilton, like history-wise? Like, when did it start? When was its glory days?
Probably pre-colonial, actually.
Very good response. Very, very good response. Now, you guys popped up at the Clubs and Societies building yesterday, as I mentioned. You were handing out materials, some of the sort of fluoro yellow. Are they yellow?
Yeah.
They're green?
We've got some bright green tote bags. We've got some bright yellow shirts. Mm-hmm. We've got some highlighters and some exam care packs for people, along with some noodles and a chocolate and some info.
Yeah. And the theme of the campaign is don't get played, correct?
Are you being played?
Are you being played?
Yeah.
Right.
It's a campaign from before my time, but particularly around sports gambling, particularly how it targets young men, particularly Betcha and those sorts of campaigns. So there are a bunch of tactics that that those betting companies use that kind of draw people in, keep them hooked. And, so that's where that campaign came from.
Mm-hmm.
And because we organised this pop-up quickly, we decided to use our existing campaign to sort of, but with more of a focus on all online gambling, because that seems to be the big thing for our younger population.
For sure. And I should have mentioned before you guys popped on, we are going to be talking about gambling for the next like 10 to 20 minutes here on The One. So if that's something that triggers you or upsets you in any way, I'd recommend tuning out and coming back around the 10:40 mark for some lighter chats. But we'll be talking about gambling. What was the response that you had from students yesterday?
It was really good. I mean, it helped. We had some free food. Everyone loves a free sausage.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a really good... it was a really good outcome. We've got this matrix. We're back again today, by the way.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, we'll be in the same spot today.
Cool.
And we've got this matrix we have, which is you can put a star on it to show whether or not you gamble and how much gambling stresses you out in your personal life.
Uh-huh.
So you might not gamble yourself, but there might be someone in your life who does, and in which case it might cause you a lot of stress. So it's just a cool visual thing, and you can kind of see where your fellow students are at as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using the same one today. Come and put a star on it. But yeah, we've got a bunch of resources. We've got we're sort of doing ban, block and bounce your online gambling. So we've got free Gamban to give away.
Mm-hmm.
Gamban is a really good app for blocking online gambling sites.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some free, we've got a year's subscription to give away. So come grab that, but you got to use the code by tomorrow. And we've got information about how to limit your gambling ads that you're seeing if you're on a Google device. And we've got information about how to work with your bank to block gambling transactions as well.
Cool. I really like that star system that you developed, because from what I've been able to observe, I'm not necessarily in the student kind of zeitgeist at the moment, but from what I've been able to observe, it's pretty underground, and I think there's a lot of shame that comes with gambling in the student area, I mean with a lot of gamblers in particular, and when it goes underground or when it becomes a shameful thing, you're not going to talk about it, you're not going to address it, it's going to go very silent, very dark, and it's hard to break out of that cycle, and it's in that kind of culture as well, especially with the students, because I don't know if you've seen the videos, but there's all sorts of horrible videos of people gambling on like flat items, like, oh, I need a new range top, let's gamble.
Yeah.
And those are usually paid for by gambling companies.
Yeah.
Which is horrifying.
Yeah, it is. And you know, like that stigma that's across all populations, that's not unique to students, that stigma and shame.
Mm-hmm.
Because gambling's kind of an accepted part of our culture. 70% of us gamble in some form, whether it's just a raffle ticket or a lotto every once in once every now and then. Mm-hmm. So when it sort of goes further into more high-risk gambling, then we start people start feeling some shame and some stigma around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that I really felt quite palpably watching the new Patty Gower special, which was on gambling this week. Mm. It looked at student gambling and talked to a couple of gamblers who had gambled away quite a lot of money. Mm. Did you watch that special?
Yes, I did. Well, some of our colleagues were in it. So
the communications director was there.
Yeah,
right?
She was supposed to be here in my seat. unfortunately, she's unwell, so I'm here. Yeah, so it was a really powerful story, and it really cool to bring some light to this issue. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you haven't seen it, go check it out, Patty Gower. It was brilliant.
For sure. Now, in preparation for this chat, I had a quick look online to see what the kind of stats were on youth gambling, and I seem to have stumbled upon a very academic resource. In 2012, the University of Auckland Adolescent Health Research Group released a 100-ish page study into youth gambling, which found that a tenth of students from across the country, ages 13 to 17 plus, had gambled at least once. Now, a majority of these gambling activities in 2012 were lotto, bets with family and friends. The frequency was also quite low, with most gambling happening like once or twice every month for the people who were gambling. How does that image compare with what's happening sort of at universities and with some young adults right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any up-to-date data on that, but what we do know is the Youth 19, which is actually high school students, showed 1 in 3 is gambling. Mm. And people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds are experiencing more harm with that gambling. They're quite concerned about their gambling. So I think that's 1 in 5 of those students who are high school students who are gambling are concerned about their gambling. So that probably, you know, they're not much younger than your university population. So with more access, once you turn 18, you can imagine it's growing and it's growing. We also know that on video games, loot boxes are a big gateway into gambling. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at what we can do to support younger people to prevent them becoming gamblers later on. Mm-hmm.
Now, in that Patty Gower special, he speaks to several students, mostly from Castle Street, who are all in the depths of a vicious gambling addiction, which makes life much, much harder, especially if you're a student when you don't really have much money to begin with. Now, that piece, along with a slew of Critic the Arohe articles from earlier in this year, reveals that hidden culture we've been talking about. How long has the Problem Gambling Foundation been aware of that?
I can't answer that question. I'm a relatively new staff member.
Oh, fair enough.
Yep. Yeah. So that's outside of my scope, but... Mm-hmm. Look, we try to be all over this, and we're here. We want to be at O-Weeks. We want to be getting the information out, supporting students. I mean, it's quite hard for young people to go and get counselling and get the support, but we want people to know that it's out there. So, and that's where we come in. We have a free and confidential service for counselling, for peer support. We can do education sessions. We can do heaps of stuff to support. We're also making submissions to government, to councils, to try and reduce the larger impact on our culture in general.
Mm-hmm. Can you comment on if you guys get many students coming to you for help?
I can't comment on that locally. Anecdotally, our local councillor Fiona did mention some students have been coming to see her, but I can't tell you the number.
Right. Yeah. Do you think that there's been sort of an increase with gambling across the world as, you know, sort of the economy becomes a bit more tangly and cost of living crisis goes up and social mobility kind of decreases, opportunities for high paying or even entry level jobs decreases, that gambling becomes more of a trend?
Yeah, I would say so. I think of gambling, this is my personal view, is that it's a kind of like an addiction to false hope. When you're struggling to make ends meet, then these things become more appealing because you want to try and, you know, you see it, when you see an influencer, for example, promoting gambling, then you're going to be like, maybe that's my answer to all my problems. So, it is... There is an increase, I would say, and online gambling is making it far more accessible for people. You don't have to go to the local casino or the local pokey joint. It's just in your pocket.
Yeah, it's nuts. And we shouldn't even have these things in our pocket to begin with. Causing so much damage. How does what's happening to students sort of reflect the wider gambling habits of Aotearoa? I think you mentioned before that 70% of New Zealanders have gambled.
Yeah.
Or are gambling?
To some extent. Most of us gamble responsibly is the phrase. We spend what we have in our budget. It's a bit more social, or it's just, you know, like a one-off lotto ticket, a raffle ticket to support someone. But yeah, we are seeing an increase in online gambling in particular, and that would be probably more with the younger population because we live on our phones. People under 40 live on our phones. So yeah, the younger people will definitely be impacted by that.
Mm-hmm. And they're getting targeted too by sites like Rainbet and Spinbet, who I hope get fined a bajillion dollars for doing what they're doing. They've been sort of using student affiliates to do online and in-person marketing, which is happening, you know, at University of Otago and at University of Christchurch. Is that quite a common tactic that the industry uses?
It seems to be. We understand even the tactics to use influencers. Some of those influencers are being fined, but they're getting paid more by the gambling company than the fine is. So, yeah, it is a common tactic, it seems to be, in recent years.
I was going to say about the influencers, the biggest rapper in the world, Drake, is sponsored by gambling companies. You were that?
No. That seems about right.
Yeah, it's like one in every third of his social media posts is about how great gambling is. It's stupid. But I want to talk about ways to prevent or mitigate gambling. What sort of tools are at your disposal to help out with that situation?
Yeah, like I said, we've got some great information with us today on campus around how to. We've got the Gamban. There's a range of blocking apps and sites that you can use. So we've just happened to have Gamban with us. You can limit the amount of gambling ads you see. You can work with your bank, ANZ and Westpac. You can just switch gambling transactions off.
True.
Yep.
That's awesome.
KiwiBank, you can do the same, but you just got to contact them to do it. And other banks you could probably contact and ask as well. So we've got all that information with us outside the Clubs and Societies building today. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, you know, just stick to a budget. Spend only what you can afford if you're gambling. If you win, maybe walk away. That's a good time to walk away. Don't keep going for a bigger win. Don't chase your losses. Chasing losses is a big thing where you're trying to make back the money you've lost. That just takes you down a deeper and deeper hole. So I encourage you to, and just get some information. The more you know about gambling and the more you know about the tactics that they use, the easier it is to sort of make some more logical decisions. Yeah, but so we've got all that information on our website. The Are You Being Played campaign has all of that information sort of outlined for you as well.
And if you are going through the struggles of a gambling addiction, reach out to your friends and family. Yep. If you haven't already, and get their support because they love you. And they'll be able to talk you through at least some of what you're going through. The government's looking at a raft of different changes, including bigger financial penalties for gambling companies who you know, advertise illegally and who might operate through unscrupulous means. They're also looking at limiting the amount of online casinos to 15. What sort of effect will that have on the gambling landscape in Aotearoa?
So to be clear, that the 15 online casinos are would be 15 operating out of New Zealand. So currently, no online casinos can operate out of New Zealand. Sky City's online stuff operates out of Malta. So they're opening it up to those casinos, up to 15, hopefully less than 15, because we have far less than that actual casinos. But they're also looking to allow those 15 online casinos to advertise openly, which means we're going to be inundated with those ads. But hopefully the regulations they're looking to bring in will restrict the overseas online casinos, and that's where we're seeing Rainbet and those sorts of places, that they're overseas, and that's sort of the big issue.
It seems maybe like it's more of a revenue generator than a cause of than wanting to reduce public harm. Maybe.
For sure. I mean, we get some tax dollars back. There's what do they call it? There's a levy, a gambling harm levy, which supports services like ours and others to operate to support people who are experiencing harm. But I think it'll be interesting to see what they decide on eventually.
Mm, for sure. And so you guys are going to be outside the Clubs and Societies building today from?
We're there from about 12:30 to about 3:00. And if we have any leftover merch, we'll probably do what we did yesterday and walk up Castle Street and give it all out. So, you might find some flyers on your car if you're parked on Castle Street.
Nice. Well, I hope you guys are wearing big shoes because there's a lot of glass.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time, Kim. Do you have any final words or thoughts for our lovely listeners?
Yeah, just want to let you know that PGF Services is free, confidential. We've got a range of ways you can contact us. There's an 0800 number. There's a text. There's a Facebook. There's an email. Chat or just come see us at Clubs and Societies today.
Fantastic. Well, I really appreciate your time, Kim. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers, man. All right, folks, that was Kim Wilson from the Problem Gambling Foundation. We're talking about gambling in the student area, gambling in the wider Aotearoa context, how it happens, why it happens, and how to mitigate and prevent it. Here are Kasi.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.